Well, sorry about the late start. So last year, I didn't get to conditionals until week 3. And people complained. They said it was too slow. Everybody already felt they knew all the stuff I covered in weeks 1 and 2 and wanted to get on to more meaty stuff. So I thought, all right, this year I'll condense lectures 1, 2, and 3 into 2 lectures. And unfortunately, I've been somewhat sabotaged by 2 things. Firstly, that we only have, whatever it is, half an hour today. So we won't be able to get through everything. So in fact, we won't be able to deal with some of this stuff until week 3. I'm sorry about that. Unless I can shoehorn another lecture into this week, and I don't yet know if that's possible. Secondly, I wanted to condense the labs from weeks 1, 2, and 3 into weeks 1 and 2 to match up with the lectures, and that also hasn't been completely successful. So in particular, the merging of weeks 2 and 3 will take place tonight. So what that means is that those of you who are doing the labs today will only get the stuff from what was last year's week 2. And consequently, the stuff that was going to be added on won't be available till tomorrow. So maybe the idea of collapsing these weeks 1, 2, and 3 into weeks 1 and 2 was wrong, but I guess I'll try and persist with it. We'll see how things go, and give me feedback if you feel that you're not following, or it's too much, or we need to go slower. I think what I will do, actually, is going to start with this. So some of you I know have already played around with Fandango, but I'll just go over it again just so you all know what it is. So it's web-based, and you have a web interface then for looking at the exercises and submitting code. Actually, the first sentence there isn't quite right. This is the second year's deployment, but made a few changes this year, and since in general all programming projects take twice as long as you expect, the changes aren't quite completed yet. Hopefully things will go fairly smoothly. So you'll be writing programs which produce some output, certainly for the next couple of weeks, well, this week and next week probably, which print stuff to the terminal. And that means that at the moment we'll be looking at checking that the output that you print from your program is what we expected. And that means you should look very carefully at the exercise, at the specification, and see what it's asking for, because it may be that the space is there, or capitalization is crucial, because we're checking that your output is the same as the output we expected. So that's kind of string matching. So that's URL. This is an example of a lab sheet. So there's some description there about the general goals, breakdown of the tasks, and it's actually changed a bit this year, but it's fairly close, so it gives you a list of the submissions that you've made and your marks. So whereas previously, last week, you were doing something like this, you were editing a file, compiling it, and then running it, then possibly going back to the editor, we're adding an extra step in the loop. So you will compile your code into a .class file. We will construct or will have constructed some test code which looks at the output of this, runs some tests, and gives you the results. So you'll edit your file, compile it, check that it works, and then upload it. And what you have to upload here is the source file. So the compilation will take place on the Infandango server. So you don't submit your .class file. That's just so you make sure it runs. And then the test will get run on Infandango, and you'll get some feedback. So a couple of things to note is that you can upload a file multiple times. And if you don't get all the marks right away, you can go on until you do. But you should be careful not to be too close to whatever it is, a million monkeys typing for a million years, in the sense that producing, okay, this is, I'm sure you don't do this, but this is just for sake of exaggeration. You could just type some random code, test it, and think, oh, that doesn't work, I'll try something else, test it again, and go on doing that until eventually, by a more or less kind of random act of madness, you get the right answer. No, don't do that. Try and think before you submit, is this code doing what I want it to do? So try as much as possible to figure out whether you're getting the right answer before you submit. And there are two reasons for this. One is that it'll make you a better programmer. The second is, when you do come to doing the exam, you won't have Infandango to say, no, that's not right, try again. You'll have to find out for yourself or figure out for yourself if the program is doing what it's meant to do. So it's a good idea to try to get the correctness figured out before submission. Another thing I should say is that today, anything you submit, if you're working on it, and anything you submitted last week, may not survive the re-engineering that we're doing tonight. So, unfortunately, if you submitted stuff already, or if you submit stuff this afternoon, you may have to redo it. So make sure you keep a copy of all your code, and you can resubmit it later on. So don't throw anything away. There will be some diagnostic information, so there'll be something like results of test, and that should give you some idea of what went wrong. Demonstrators should also be able to help you, and there is, I don't think it's called this anymore, something like more information, which will show you what tests we actually ran. So if you're interested on the testing side, which you should be, then you can have a look at that. I think I will skip this. Are there any questions on what I've said so far? So, that's what we're going to cover. I'm going to skip that. This is a kind of picture of the kinds of the stuff which is covered in the Cedric and Wayne book. And we've sort of looked a bit at primitive data types, though not in a lot of detail, last week. And we looked also at assignment statements, how you assign a value to a variable. In this week's exercises, there will be a few examples of using stuff from math library. So, for example, taking absolute value and so on. And that's explained. You've also looked a bit about taking input from the command line and printing out output. So that's been covered. So this week we're looking at conditionals and loops. Next week we'll look at arrays. Then I think actually I swapped this round, so I actually can't remember. Then there's a couple of topics here. One is dealing a bit with graphics in particular, writing functions, which you already know about to a certain extent, and then going on to using object-oriented programming. These little wheels at the top are meant to be a Turing machine, so in a sense that you can do anything you like once you've got to that stage. You can write a program that will compute anything that's computable. So I'm assuming that that's been covered enough and that we're doing conditionals and loops. Okay, so in Haskell, you typically were involved in applying a function to an argument and computing the result, so evaluating the result of applying a function. So when you designed a function, it returned a value. And that's the basic thing you do, is evaluate functions applied to some data. In Java or in other procedural languages, we typically have a series of statements which have to be carried out one after the other, and each of which, as I said before, is like an imperative. It's saying, do this, do this, do this. And so far we just looked at cases where there's just a single line. We first do one thing, then the other. So it's a linear sequence. Control flow allows us to be do more interesting things with those steps. So in particular, this notion of branching, which I tried to illustrate here, that you can, if such and such a holds, if there's a fire alarm, go outside, otherwise stay inside. If you're inside and thirsty, have a drink, otherwise don't. Okay, not a great example. So what we're going to do is look at conditionals and loops, which are ways of organizing these steps. So the crucial thing about if statements, so Boolean expressions you've already seen in Haskell. So things being true or false, and they can be combined in various ways by and or and so on. The different thing here is rather than saying if value is true, then deliver some value, it's execute some statements. If it's false, we execute some other statements. That's the else part of a conditional. So this statement T here and statement F, statements if something is true, statements if something is false, those can be sequences of statements. And this whole thing is usually called a block. So it's in itself a series which is executed one after the other, though it may contain other control constructions inside it. So notice that this is the syntax of an if statement, that we have in parentheses the Boolean expression, such as the fire alarm went off. Then we have curly braces around the block of statements which then have to be executed. And then optionally, we can have an else statement. We don't have to have an else statement. So here's an example. If x is greater than y, then initialize the variable t of type integer with value x, set x to be the value of y, and set y to be the value of t. So this is statement one, statement two, statement three, do this, do that, do that. So this is our sequence, and this is what tells us and whether we should do it or not. And I said this is often called a branching structure for obvious reasons. Like a fork in the road, you go left, you go right. And this triangle here usually contains, by convention, the Boolean to be tested. So in this case, we say if x is less than 0, then set x to be the same as negative x. So that's that branch. Here, if x is greater than y, then set max to be x. Otherwise, we take this route down here. So here's some examples. The first one, so if x is, say, minus 3, if that's the value of x, then we set x to be minus minus 3, namely 3. So that gives us absolute value of 3. The second one is a way of putting x and y into ascending order according to their size. The third one gives you the maximum of x and y. And the fourth one, if we're trying to do division, division by 0 will throw an error. So we check here to see whether then is in fact equal to 0. So this double equal sign here is a Boolean test. Is then equal to 0? Not assignment, right? This is a quality test. So if it's equal to 0, then we print out, whoa, division by 0. Otherwise, we print out quotient equals then the result of computing that division. Okay, so I'll give some more examples, hopefully, of using conditionals at the end. Are there any questions on this so far?
Does Java preserve order of operations when you have a lot of math operations?
With what kind of operations?
Math operations, like the last time there with the numeric time by the denominator.
What do you mean by the order? Oh, so the, yeah, this is something that I put in last week's lecture but didn't actually cover. So the question is, how tightly do these operators bind? And the answer is the precedence rules for arithmetic operators are kind of what you'd expect. So yes, times and division bind more tightly than subtraction and addition and so on. So probably your intuitions will get you most of the way. As I said, you can check any source or you can check last week's lecture for more specific rules. Okay, thanks. Okay, so loops. So we talked about a sequence of statements. Suppose I'm trying to construct a stack of blocks. And I want them to only, let's say we have some height here, let's say 1 meter. If you think about this in terms of a language like Java, each time, or one way of doing this is we have an instruction, put down a block, next instruction. Put a block on top of it, next instruction, put a block on top of it, next instruction, put a block on top of it. So for each block adding action, we need a separate command. And okay, you could do this for 3 or 4 or 5 blocks, but if you had a million blocks, it would be very tedious writing out all those instructions. Moreover, we've got here some kind of test, so we want to say, keep on doing this until the height of the stack is 1 meter. So loops give you a succinct way of doing that. So basically, what we'd want to say is, test whether the height of the stack is less than 1 meter. While that's true, keep adding blocks. So the add block is a statement or an imperative. And we can string these out in a long sequence. Without loops, we have to write down every single one. With a loop, we can iterate. So we can go on doing the same thing until some condition is met. So this is what we've got here with a while loop. We've got a Boolean expression here and then some statements. And we test the Boolean expression, and as long as it's true, we keep on executing those statements. So here's a kind of flowchart thingy for it. So we test the Boolean expression. If it's true, we do statement one, statement two, and go around. If it's false, then we go on to something else or stop. So here's a case of where we're trying to compute powers of 2 that are less than or equal to 2 to the n for some n. And in this case, we're going to explicitly count how many times we loop. So we're going to have a variable that stores the number of times around the loop. That's called a loop counter. And we start off with 0, which is our first integer, and we go on until n. And each time round, we double the value of variable val. So here we're setting, we're initializing I to be 0 and val to be 1. The while statement says, while I is less than or equal to n, print out I to tell us where we are, space, and then val. Then we update I to be the same as it was before plus 1, and multiply val by 2. So here's a way of trying to keep track of what's happening to the variables. So to begin with, we've got I equal to 0, val equal to 1, and is that Boolean expression true? Yes, it is. So at this point, we're testing whether that's the case. We now enter that loop, and we print out 0, which is the value of I, and 1, which is the value of val. And then we can just step through this. We update the loop counter. We multiply val by 2. And we just go on like that. At this stage, n is now we've hit I equal to n. So the while statement is still true because I is still less than or equal to 6. But next time round, we've incremented I by 1 more, and it's false, and we exit the loop at that stage. I know that some of you have to go at 10:02, so I think I'd probably, let me just go very quickly. So labs have changed, I think that's right. So it's 3 to 5 every day except for Tuesdays. In Fandango, available for this week, but today I don't have all the exercises. I'm very sorry about that. I'll beat my chest. Infandangle will be offline for a couple of hours tonight. Hopefully everything will be up fine and dandy tomorrow morning. Tutorial groups start this week, and you should all have been contacted by the ITO on that. Here's some reading and just some pointers to stuff that you might find useful on the Cedric and Wayne. So I will continue with the rest of this lecture next Monday. Why do you ask?
I tried to do the week two's lab exercises just for fun, and I discovered I would like to use the Apache library.
What?
For repeating a character or a string.
Sounds like you already know more Java than you ought to. Sorry, not more than you ought to, more than you need to.
But I haven't done much of it, really.
Okay. I don't think I can guarantee that you'll have libraries other than what's standardly in the Java distribution. Okay.
Thank you.
But for your project, you can use anything you like.
Really?
Well, as long as you agree with the rest of your group.
Okay.
All right.
I was just wondering, because the lab, I've got my lab today, but because the Fandango, if he still wants to go up and do those exercises, or would it be better we went to another lab session to do them so that we're at the same level?
I would suggest you start today, and do the half that's there, and then go back to another lab later on. Sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Oh, that's fine.
Hi.
About the labs.
Yes.
I'm only doing the exam because I feel that's the circumstances. But do I still need to submit my work through Fandango?
Do you not want to?
I could, yeah, I would like to.
I think, I'm not sure, if you're exam only, then I think you maybe have exemption from the coursework. I would have to double check that. But I would think that probably it would be a good way of just revising and just doing it again.
Well, I tried submitting stuff to Infandango, but I can't.
When did you try?
I think last Friday.
Okay, so I updated the class list yesterday. If you're still having a problem, can you let me know? Send me an email. Okay, thanks. Hi.
So I'm in today's lab, and I wonder, should I do like only half of the work?
Do there's only half available.
So
do everything that's available there.
Okay, and finish it later.
Yes, if you can.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about not making that clear. Hi.
Last week's lab, something I had to go down just. Like
you're the JavaScript person.
Yeah. and they said there was something wrong with my account, and he could override it. And I wasn't sure if he said he would talk to you, if I was supposed to talk to you about making sure the glitch was fixed or something.
Who said that? The demonstrator.
No, it was someone on the fourth floor, like a help person.
Can you quickly just drop down your name and your matriculation number, and I'll.